Is that it? Thank you. Thanks, Jason. Now, most of us, when we've come into this place this morning, when we left our homes, would have used something like this. Keys are very important. We use them all the time. We cannot live without them. Keys to lock our homes, cars, garages, churches, whatever. Keys are important. And God has given us some important keys to use in this journey of life. And the keys that God has given to us will unlock unseen things. I'm sure many of us have felt that we have been kept from something. In other words, a supernatural door has been locked. We want to go through that door, and we can't. But it needs somehow to be unlocked so that we can experience the promises that God has given to us and the power of God in our individual lives. And today we're going to look at spiritual keys. There are just two keys that I want us to concentrate on this morning to help us to unlock those unseen doors that our lives, we can live in such a way to have access to what God wants in our individual lives. And this scripture that Ernest read just a few moments ago, we know it so well. Jesus, talking to his disciples, just conversing with them, and asks the question, who do men say that I am? And they answered, some John the Baptist, Elijah, others Jeremiah, the prophets. And then Jesus asks that very important question, who do you say I am? And Peter, bless him, boldly comes out, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus says something very important. He says, upon this rock I will build my church. And the rock was not Peter. It was not the ground on which they were standing. Jesus was referring to Peter's comment, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, this statement, this truth, this declaration is the foundation of my church. And Jesus says, I will build my church. And then he says, the gates of hell or the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And here, Jesus gives instruction and insight that there is a spiritual battle, that there are demonic forces at play. And those forces are very, very organized. They have gates, which means they have authority. It means they have a kingdom. But Jesus has already promised to those who engage in an appropriate way that the enemy will lose and we will win. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it, shall not win, shall not triumph, shall not succeed. The gates of hell shall not overcome you. And isn't that wonderful for us at New Life Church this morning? That we can have victory because we belong to Jesus. And Jesus says in verse 19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whoever has the key is in charge, has authority. I trust each one of you, when you came into church, had one of these little keys given to you. In another scripture, in 2 Corinthians 10 and verses 3 to 5, Paul says this: "For we walk in the flesh, and we do not war against according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." We're going to refer to that scripture in a little while. But also, we know in Ephesians 6, a very well-known portion of the Bible. And I was so pleased that some of the men who attended the breakfast yesterday, this was the scripture that was chosen for yesterday morning. And Paul says in chapter 6 of Ephesians, verse 12, "We do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and the heavenly hosts of wickedness." In this scripture in 2 Corinthians, Paul begins the conversation by reminding us that whilst we walk in the flesh, we do not war against the flesh. We're human. And we might think this morning that people are or can be the problem in my life and in your life. There's something deeper than that. People, we, humans, we can see one another, but we cannot see what is going on in the background. And what Paul is saying here is that we don't war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, in other words, not human, but mighty in God. God has given us things to use in our daily living to help us in our walk and our journey through life. In spiritual warfare, there are those who are doing what God wants to do, and there are those who are doing not what God wants them to do. And I really feel that in the universal church at the moment, that the church is not using the weapons that God has given us to use. These things are mighty in God, and God wants us to use them. He has given us these things for our benefit, but also His glory. People who served in the military would have been trained to use weapons, and they use them. And God, I believe, wants us to use weapons that He has given to the church. A rhetorical question: when was the last time you used one of those weapons that God has given to you? Every time we come to church, we should be further equipped to be used as servants of God in the world. And we need to use and utilize the weapons that have been given. And in this scripture in 2 Corinthians 10, we see that they're authorized to do different things. In verse 4, it says that they can be used for pulling down strongholds. A stronghold, by definition, is a fortified position. A stronghold is a place where the enemy has set up camp. And as long as the enemy is in that stronghold, he dominates that area. And he will dominate that area of our individual lives. People say all of the time, oh, the enemy's got a stronghold on me. Strongholds develop over time. But the weapons that God has given are mighty in himself to bring down or pull down strongholds. Not only do they pull down strongholds, it says in the next verse, in verse 5, that they pull down every high thing. Paul is not talking about a geographical a high place somewhere. He's not talking about like Ikar Point or Jerberg and bringing that cliff down to ground level. Paul is talking about the battlefields of life where the enemy wants to engage with us. It's quite a verse, that one. Verse 5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, being every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Arguments, high things, knowledge, thoughts. Friends, the battleground where the enemy wants to get us is often in the mind. That's where he wants to rob, destroy, and to kill. He wants our thought life to be so possessed with fear and worry and drenched in doubt that we don't have time and energy for the things of God. That's the strategy of the devil and of our enemy. And the enemy wants a stronghold over our minds. So it's important that we pray into this. And when we do, God will move. One of the scriptures that I love so much from the Psalms is in Psalm 68 and verse 1. And I long for this to happen in the church. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. What a statement. Even amongst us this morning, we're facing different things. And the enemies can be fleeing and scattering from this place because we have the key and authority that Jesus has given to us. So what are these keys? The first one is prayer. And in, again, referring to Ephesians 6, Paul tells the church, and he says this in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Paul says that we are to be praying always, regularly, not just now and again. And he says it to the believers in Ephesus. He says it to different churches as he was going around that region and area. So important. And it's important for us to recognize that we need to pray and pray specifically. We know that God wants us to surrender our lives to him. That's why that verse in 2 Corinthians about every thought is so important. We need to submit everything unto the Lord. But make no bones about it. The enemy is wanting to distract us from the things of God. He is very clear about that. But when our prayer life is regular and committed, we will see God move and work in mighty ways in our individual lives. You know, there's so many different examples in the New Testament church, particularly in the Acts of the Apostles, of this happening. In Acts 16, it says that when they prayed, the doors of the very place began to shake. The doors didn't shake until they started to pray. And friends, we need to pray very specifically and target those areas where we want God to move. It's a personal word of testimony. Jane and I, over the last 12, 18 months, our pattern of praying together has changed. We used to pray at the end of the day, but for the last period of time, we've been praying together after our meal in the evening. And when we've been specific and regular and continuous, we have seen God answer many, many prayers. I want to encourage you to pray at home. Pray with your wife. Pray with your husband. Pray with your children. And when we start praying in our families, we will see God move in mighty ways. Another example in the New Testament church, and we know the story so well, was Peter's release from prison in Acts 12. What happened? Well, the Bible tells us that Peter was chained up against two guards, and he was quite at peace. God had given him a peace, even in the prison. The constant prayer from the church was being ascended to the throne of grace, and an angel was sent to the prison to release Peter. And Peter walked from the prison to the home where the church were in prayer. They were gathering together, and he knocked on the door. And you can just imagine it. The leaders were there. They were all praying. They were swaying. Maybe they were sweating. They were persisting in prayer. And there was this knock on the door, and they say to the girl there, "Who's at the door?" And she says, "It's Peter." And they said, "Be quiet. We're praying. We've got, don't play games. We're praying for Peter's release. And Peter's at the door. Let me in. Let me in." And the Bible says they were amazed because Peter was at the door. You know, friends, I want to be in gatherings and churches, and I'm sure you like me, where here, even here at New Life Church, we want to be amazed of what God is doing. Our God is a great God. Nothing is too difficult for him. The Bible says that when we live and breathe in such a way that we cannot be defeated, because we are more than conquerors through Christ. I would be surprised, very surprised this morning, if there is anyone in this assembly who is not facing a challenge, either in your individual lives or in the life of the family. It's Thursday, Little Gems, after. Jane had four mothers and carers share with her about situations within their family which were giving great concern. Prison, cancer, serious financial challenges, assault, and children with very big behavioral problems. Four very concerned ladies. Jane said to them, "We will pray." And we did pray in our prayer time that evening, and we will keep praying. Friends, this morning, we might be pressed down, but we are not crushed. We may be persecuted, but we are not abandoned. We may be struck down, but we are not destroyed, because the weapons of our warfare are mighty in God. And when we use them in Jesus' name, we win. So prayer is the first key. The second key is that of praise. And we've been praising God this morning in this place. You're in good voice this morning. It's been wonderful praise to the throne. And as praise comes out of our mouths, we are allowing our thoughts to be verbal and audible. Remember, the battlefield is in the mind, and the mouth is where we express what we are thinking. Have you ever heard someone say, "I'm going to give someone a piece of my mind"? Now, what? Yeah, we have a piece of mind. Is it this shape? And, you know, is that person going to use a scalpel or the tongue? It's the tongue, isn't it? Because the tongue is the avenue where it's released, those things of what we are thinking. So when we are praying and when we are praising, we're telling the enemy, "You don't have authority up here. I belong to Jesus, and I am trusting my God." It says in Psalm 149, "Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand." The high praises of God. It doesn't mean a small amount of appreciation. That is continual praise to our God, who deserves the very highest and best quality of worship that we can give to him. Each day when we go through life can be a victorious day of living, because the battle belongs to the Lord. We celebrate his greatness. Prayer and praise often will go together. As mighty and as powerful as these weapons are, they are worthless if we don't use them. And in our prayer lives, we need to be specific and identify those target areas and keep persistently praying into those heavenly places. Now, as believers, our relationship with God grants us certain privileges or advantages over other people they do not have. And one of the greatest privileges and advantages that we have is to be able to enter into God's presence directly. It says in Hebrews 10 and 19, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus." I don't very often watch television, but I did watch a documentary recently about King Charles. And wouldn't it be good if we were granted an audience with the king, to be allowed to enter the private rooms of Buckingham Palace, to be escorted by the royal guards, to sit in that inner chamber and to be greeted by the king, to know that the king has the power to grant our requests. Meeting the king would indeed be a wonderful privilege. It's not likely to happen. The king is a very important person. I am not, and I do not have any standing whatsoever to gain an audience with the king. That privilege does not belong to me. But whilst I may never have the privilege of meeting the king, God has given me the privilege of entering the throne room of heaven through the blood of Jesus. And by his death on the cross, Jesus tore down that veil, that separation, as it were, that wall that was dividing us between God and man. And now we can go directly to God at any time, as long as we go in the name of Jesus, claiming nothing but the blood of Christ. In Hebrews 4 and 16 it says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." And so we have the standing, we have the right, we have the open invitation through the blood of Jesus to enter the very throne room of heaven. God has given us a key. And this morning, I have, and you have, if you belong to Jesus, you have access. We have access. Because I am a personal friend of God's own Son. As the hymn says, what a friend we have in Jesus. I am a member of God's own family. He is my loving heavenly Father, and I am his Son. And I am a citizen of heaven. My name is recorded in that citizenship register for eternal purposes. And my relationship with God through Jesus gives me the standing, the advantage, and the privilege to enter his presence, because I have the key. And that same privilege has been given to every child of God. It's God's gift to all those who surrender their lives to him. We have a privilege to have an audience with God himself. Anytime, anywhere, as often as we like, as long as we like, to enter God's presence. We are welcomed. We are invited. We are no longer on the outside, not able to get in. We are believers on the inside with God. Isn't that wonderful? What a blessing it is to belong to the family of God. In closing, I would like us to stand. We're going to pray. So I'd like us to stand now, please. And we're going to pray in faith, believing that God is going to unlock things in our lives this morning. We're going right to the very throne room of heaven. We're going to move in heavenly places. You might want to hold on to your key as we pray. But remember, this is only a piece of wood. There's no power in this at all. This is just symbolic of what God has given to us. So let us pray. And let us pray believing that these things will happen. Just in the quietness now, as we stand before Almighty God. Father, we thank you this morning that we are part of your church, and we rejoice because this is the day that you have made, and we rejoice because you can answer our prayers. We rejoice this morning because you can meet all of our needs, every single one of them. You can remove every mountain. You can defeat every giant. Father, we've been looking at those important words in Scripture this morning about strongholds. And we pray, Lord, right in these moments, that you would pull down those things. Pull down arguments. Take away doubt. Take away the fear. Take anything away which is going to be a barrier from us this morning, receiving your blessing. We want the enemy to be scattered, and we pray in Jesus' name that that would be so from this place, this morning, right now. Father, as a people, we cry out to you. You see our hearts. You know all about us. You see what is troubling us. And Lord, there are many things. Some of us have sickness in our bodies. And in the mighty name of Jesus, we ask that you would bring wholeness into our bodies. Likewise, we lift loved ones before you. Be pleased to touch them, restore them. And Father, for those enemy attacks on our homes and against our families, in Jesus' name, we pray that they would be defeated, that they would scarper. You are a great God. You are the all-sufficient one. And Father, this morning, as we pray in Jesus' name, keep us faithful, keep us expectant, and keep us praising you for all that you have done in our lives, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.